Well, let me welcome back here Kevin Loco to Systematically Wild. And Kevin, unfortunately, to quote Yogi Berra, the fat lady's getting real close to singing right now.
Yes, guys are starting to reluctantly eye up the golf clubs as they could be headed to the course as soon as a week from Saturday.
So a 2-2 week for the club, beating Ottawa at home on Tuesday, then losing at home to Colorado on Thursday, Winnipeg on Saturday, and then heading to the road to Chicago where they get a 4-0 victory. As you and I are talking, playing Colorado right now. Actually, if they lose this game, that would officially eliminate them from the playoffs, as they are right now 9 points behind Vegas Golden Knights with 5 games left. But if they were to lose this, they would not be able to catch Vegas at that point. So given it all that they got, but I did get somebody who wrote in to ask me a question, Kevin. So we're going to start with this, if you wouldn't mind. So Brent wanted to know, in your opinion, what went wrong with the club this season?
Well, I don't think you can pinpoint it to one thing. I think it's a lot of things. Injuries were a big part of it. You know, when your captain only played 16 games the entire season, that right there is just a crushing blow. And you went on, got Zach Bogosian, who played admirably in his role and will be back for another season. But there's just something missing when you don't have your captain on the ice for a large part of the season. And we saw, like, I believe going into tonight, only Marco Rossi and Matt Boldy. Marco Rossi and Brock Faber are the only guys that have played every game this season for the Wild. So I think that's part of it. I think the lack of secondary scoring is part of it. I mean, we saw it when the team was rolling for a while in January. It was a line of Erickson, Ek, Kaprizov, and Boldy just cooking, but behind that, there wasn't much going on. So I think a lack of secondary scoring, and I think the goaltending just wasn't where it needed to be. You know, there were flashes, there were streaks where Fleury and Gustafson were playing well, but just not. They didn't put up the kind of numbers that we saw a year before. So between injuries, lack of scoring depth, and iffy goaltending, I think those were the big three factors if you want to try to pinpoint why we're not seeing a Wild playoff team this season.
That's a pretty fair assessment. Well, let's look at the games this week, Kevin. It starts with Ottawa on Tuesday night. Club jumps out to a 2-0 lead. Mason Shaw with his first goal of the season, which we love to see there. Matt Boldy then scores his 26th to make it 2-0. Ottawa able to battle back to tie the score, but Vinny Lettieri with his fourth goal of the year, a little less than 7 minutes left in the contest, and they come away with a 3-2 victory.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that, you know, I'm talking about a lack of secondary scoring, and that's all the, I believe there was the Boldy play, power play goal in the middle of the game, but the other two goals did come from the fourth line, but just hasn't happened often enough.
Marc-Andre Fleury with 30 saves in that contest, Kevin. You've been talking about there's speculation that he may return for another season. I mean, pretty solid year for the guy. 17 victories that he's got on a 2.87 goals against average. Save percentage isn't great, but 8.99, but still played very well for this club, a club that's going to be a little bit, you know, falling short of the playoffs there. So Fleury really showing he's still got the juice if he wants to keep playing.
You know, he's making the stops he should, and the defense in front of him at times just hasn't been what he's needed to have in front of them. They're not moving guys in front of the net. They're blowing assignments. So there are some goals he's given up. Yeah, he might give up 5 on a night, but 4 of them are probably ones that he had no chance on.
On Thursday night, Colorado takes a 1-0 lead. Vinny Lettieri, all of a sudden on the scoring streak, scores his 5th goal of the season to tie the game. Colorado gets 2 goals to make it 3-1 before Declan Chisholm scores his 2nd of the year, this time on the power play to make it 3-2. But the Avalanche had 2 in the third period, come away with a 5-2 victory. You know, we knew Colorado was going to be a tough team to have to beat, but unfortunately had to beat them, and they don't come away with a win.
I was at the game, and it just seemed like it was just a just an uphill battle all night. Right now, Colorado's just on a completely different level than Minnesota, and it's pretty easy from watching that game to figure out why Colorado is going to be a team to contend with in the playoffs.
Gustafson with 31 saves in the game, Kevin. You know, you talk about goaltending not being up to what the team needed to make a big playoff run this season. And I wonder, did the team get too excited about what Gustafson produced last season? And maybe this is, you know, not, this is more like what we're going to expect going forward. Or is this just a little bit of an off year, a guy who really can perform to last season's levels?
I don't really know if anyone can figure that out at this point without seeing how it's going to play out next year, because here's a guy that wasn't really able to crack a starting job in Ottawa, comes to Minnesota, has an incredible season, but then this year it's been inconsistent, and you have to wonder right now, where does Philip Gustafson fit in the plans of the Wild, especially if Marc-Andre Fleury does indeed come back for another season.
On Saturday is a 4-2 loss to Winnipeg. Winnipeg takes one goal leads twice in the first period, but it is Kaprizov, if I can get that out of my mouth right now, scoring twice in the period, once on the power play to tie it at 2, but Winnipeg gets a goal in the second and in the third to come away with a 4-2 win. That pretty much was the ice. I mean, kind of the deal breaker right there, Kevin, because you needed those two wins at home, and that pretty much clinched it for them.
Yeah, you know, the consensus was that they almost needed to run the table in that homestand, and going 2-2 just pretty much surmises the season, a mediocre homestand and a mediocre season.
On Sunday, a big 4-0 victory in Chicago, and probably the biggest news out of that, because Kevin and I are big Iowa Wild fans as well, Jesper Wallstedt comes up, gets the shutout, Kevin.
Yeah, I thought it was great for Wallstedt to get back to the big club and get a game in to get that taste out of his mouth of the disastrous debut in Dallas, and frankly, what better team right now to go up against than Chicago, who's now been shut out, I believe that I heard 10 times in their last 31 games. So, but Wallstedt played well when he had to, got the shutout. His parents were in town for it, so it all worked out. And, you know, Wallstedt had a bad taste in his mouth from Friday night, as we'll talk about when we go through Iowa's last week.
So 3 goals for Minnesota in this contest give them the victory. Kaprizov with his 40th of the season. That came on the power play. Marco Rossi with his 21st. Nice, fantastic season for him. You got to really like. Gaudreau with his 5th. Kaprizov adds his 41st to close out the scoring. But, wow, Rossi, man, we were talking last season about the club kind of a little disappointed in his brief stint with the team last year. But boy, he really has stepped up and proven that he's everything that they were hoping for.
It's been one of the, I think, with Brock Faber, it's one of the great two developments of what's been a lost season. And, you know, as I had discussed with some people, you had Joel Eriksson-Ek that was a first-round draft pick, and Eriksson-Ek didn't have 20 goals till like his, I believe his third or fourth season. So, you know, if you want to go by that alone, it's two different kind of players. But Rossi is on a pretty good pace to become a very good player in the NHL.
As we were talking about to start the show here, Colorado leading over Minnesota as we are talking here tonight, 2-0, a loss by the Wild in regulation would end their playoff hopes this year. So we'll be watching that game, and if it concludes, Kevin and I will have a little analysis on that before we depart.
Let us drop the victory out of Colorado was by Marc-Andre Fleury. If I'm sure anyone that follows the team knows about that, Fleury and now former teammate Brandon Duhaime have had a practical joke back and forth going all season, with Duhaime pelting Fleury's Jeep with 96 rolls of toilet paper last Thursday when the Avalanche were in St. Paul. But Fleury, with help from some unknown teammates, gets even and then some with Duhaime by putting Duhaime's Jeep on blocks, removing the tires, changing the tires, and taking the key to the lock that locked to the chain that chained the tires together. And he put a bunch of dirt and then flowers on front of the windshield of the of Duhaime's Jeep. So after that, I guess Duhaime did send Fleury an apology video. So it sounds like Duhaime has finally admitted defeat in the great practical joke war of the 2023-2024 season.
Hey, like they say, Kevin, you know, go big or go home. You're going to mess with the guys that are around the NHL a long time. You better bring your A game every time there. You're going to pay for it. So,
yeah, that's all he had to do was ask Crosby about the stuff that Fleury pulled off when he was with the Penguins on Crosby.
Well, let's drop down to the Iowa Wild, Kevin. Right, exactly. Exactly right. Let's drop down to the Iowa Wild, who, as we are talking tonight, are also very thinly hanging on to playoff hopes. Unfortunately, very tough weekend when the Hershey Bears came to town, just dominated this club, and that pretty much since they're now just trying to stay out of last place now, Kevin.
Well, you know, I thought Hershey, the way I put it, Hershey was a 10 on Friday night, and the Wild were about a 5. And the results showed in a big win for the Bears. But then I felt like Hershey's game dipped on Saturday and the Wild elevated themselves. And that's why we saw the Wild able to take Hershey to a shootout.
Well, let's talk about Friday. As you said, Jesper Wallstedt had a tough night, Kevin. 7-2 victory for Hershey. They scored 2 goals in the first. Iowa able to get on the board to cut it 2-1 just before the end of the first period, but 3 goals in the second and 2 more in the third just clinched this victory for Hershey. Jesper Wallstedt with 19 saves on just 26 shots. Very tough night for him, and as you said, what are you going to do against a team that's bringing their total A game?
Oh, it was, and I would say maybe 2 of the goals were leakers. The other ones were stuff he was screened on or backdoor passes or one-on-one rush. He didn't have much help from the supporting cast.
Big debut there down in Iowa, as a matter of fact, over the weekend as well.
Liam Ogren, the number one pick from the Wild, got in the Kevin Fiala trade, debuted for Iowa over the weekend. Didn't make the sudden impact that I'm sure some fans are hoping for, but it's got to be tough. It's your first 2 games in North America, and it's probably a different pace than he's used to playing over in, in Sweden. So, it's going to take some time for him. You saw little things where you can see he's got a pretty good skill set, but it was a tough night on Friday as he ended up a -3 for the game, but that's why you're in the AHL. You're working on your game. You're playing against great competition, and it's only going to make you better in the long run.
Vladislav Firstov, is that the way that's last name is said?
Yeah.
So he scores on Friday, then comes back with a power play goal on Saturday, his second of the season, back-to-back nights for him. Hershey able to score the next 2 goals before Gavin Haynes scores 10:48 in the third to force a shootout. Unfortunately, it is a long shootout before they finally drop this one in the 3-2 final. Very solid performance out of Zane McIntyre, stuffed 25 shots in the loss, Kevin, but did come away with a point against a very good Hershey Bears team.
As a Wild fan, you had to be encouraged by it. They stayed right up there with all of us to say they're the best team in the American Hockey League. from what I saw, I think there's some NHL teams that they could have beat with the way they played on Friday night. But so, yeah, it was good to at least have one good showing against them. Good sign for Zane McIntyre, who's not played at all lately, to have a good night in the net. And you have to wonder with McIntyre if what next season holds for him. I mean, are we looking at possibly the end of his Wild career, much less his professional career, because the Wild did sign a goalie out of the Czech Republic whose name I have not heard pronounced, so I'm not going to even try it, take a stab at it. And they've also signed Kyle McClellan, who was a senior at University of Wisconsin and a Richter Award finalist, to a entry-level contract that begins next year. So, you know, it's going to be a crowded net on all levels of the Wild organization next year. So you have to wonder if McIntyre fits into that plan at all.
A lot of speculation about that's the end of Hunter Jones in the Wild organization as well.
Yes, I think I know someone asked that of Michael Russo of The Athletic, and Russo believes that Jones will be moving on, as I believe his contract does expire after this season.
So as Kevin and I are talking, the Iowa Wild also playing here tonight. They are taking on the Rockford Ice Hogs. Rockford had a 2-0 lead coming out of the first period, but it has been all Iowa since then. Gavin Hayne with his 6th, Luke Toprowski with his 11th, and Greg Mierlis scoring his 4th. I hope I said that right. Making it 3-2 right now, and we are about 9 minutes left in this contest. So should Iowa hang on tonight, they could potentially still stay alive. They are with 6 games left. They are 10 points behind Manitoba for the last playoff spot. Manitoba has 5 games left as you and I are talking here tonight. So now it's just a battle for that very last spot, and it looks like it's going to be Manitoba hanging on to get the 5th spot and facing Texas in the first round.
I guess if you're hoping for one thing from Iowa, is that first of all, they hang on and win this game on Tuesday night, but then they go to Manitoba for 2 games this weekend, where if they swept, there still is a slight glimmer of hope that they could, if a lot of things went right, that they could still get a playoff spot, as they would be. Because if you win tonight, you're down by 8 points. You go up there, sweep them, now you're down by 4. So you're down by 4 points with 3 games left. So, I mean, the key would be they absolutely would have to sweep up there. And if not, then it's just going to be playing out the string.
You know, they're going to get a little bit of a break there, potentially, too, Kevin, because Grand Rapids could have been locked into that number 2 spot, likely not going to catch Milwaukee. So they may look at it as, hey, we need to rest some guys. We're going to face Rockford. We're going to be fine with being the number 2 team and having that first-round playoff, you know, so we're at home for more of the games. So you might see a more relaxed Grand Rapids club when you're facing them, and that leads you to the last game of the season in Chicago, a team that probably should be a little bit better than already. So I'm not going to say it, you know, I'm not going to put a whole bunch of stock in it, but it's not like this scenario is impossible to try to achieve.
No, I mean, in theory, when you look at 10 points with a handful of games left, it does sound impossible, but when you got those 2 one-on-one matchups that are swing games, it does give you that glimmer of hope.
Well, let's drop down to the Iowa Heartlanders, Kevin. They drop all 3 games at home against Toledo. Not a shocker. Toledo wins 5-1 on Wednesday, wins 5-3 on Friday, and comes away with a 4-1 victory on Saturday. It's the Friday night game that was the exciting one, as Toledo jumped out to a 4-0 lead, but the Heartlanders just refused to go away in that contest. Yuki Mura scores twice in that contest. Pavel Novak with the goal. I like this Pavel Novak. I think he's got a bright future ahead for this club. But a goal with an empty net goal clinches a victory for him. But nice battle. 4-0, you know, 10 minutes left in the contest, and you score 3 goals. You tell your fans you're out there battling for 60 minutes of hockey, and I like this club and just continue to prove that they're They're pretty relentless.
Yeah, you know, it's a good culture to set into place for next season, too, when you hope to get even better. And at some point, you're going to have to turn that corner and become a team that can make a playoff run.
Peyton Jones stopped 20 of 25 shots in the loss on Wednesday. It was Drew DeRitter on Friday. He stopped 23 of 27. And then on Saturday, it was back with DeRitter. Gregory Angus comes up there to join the club as well. But
equipment manager. Tonight,
but yeah, there you go. Drew DeRitter with the loss and stops 27 of 30 shots in the 4-1 loss there. So Novak again with another goal for this club. I really like this kid. I think he's the real deal for them. So three losses for the club, Kevin, right now. What that leaves them is in last place in the division, but hanging on to could potentially not finish last in the conference as they are 2 points ahead of Rapid City, who will have three games against the Wichita Thunder this weekend as Wichita trying to get that last playoff spot in the Mountain Division and Wichita coming there. So the Thunder sweep, or at least, you know, hurt Rapid City a little bit there. Iowa has a chance to not finish in last in the conference. I think that's a big deal for the third-year club.
So I don't know what to really say about that. It's like, what do you say? We don't – well, there's one team that sucks worse than us. I don't know. I'm not want to make it sound that morbid. But, I mean, frankly, I mean, it was a three-loss weekend, and – from what I read this morning, it was a three-arrest weekend for a few players in Iowa City as they had a little bit of trouble at the bar. I only briefly saw the names of the players that were arrested. And, you know, any fans listen to this, I wonder who they are. Well, if you see some names conspicuous by their absence in these last upcoming home games, I think you can kind of put it together. I know one has been put on reserve already.
Yeah, that's usually the sign. So, and you know, hey, nobody's been convicted of anything or whatever. So, you know, but a young club like that in a college town, last thing you want is that kind of publicity. So,
yeah, just kind of sounds like a Ron White comedy routine. I got thrown out of a bar in Iowa City.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, Kevin, that leads us through the Wild system for this week. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the NHL as we are closing out in the last few games here of the season before we're talking about playoff time. And as we now, we'll stay in the West for me for a minute here. Dallas looks like they are the lock for that Central Division title. It's a battle between them and Vancouver for the top record in the conference. You've loved Dallas all season, thought they were going to be the Stanley Cup representative. They've really been on a stretch lately, 9-1 in their last 10. Looks like your prediction's coming to fruition here.
I was a little worried about the goaltending. Jake Oettinger was sagging for quite a bit, but it looks like he has found his game as of late, and right now the Stars are on a roll.
I like this team, Kevin, especially the fact of 13 games above 500 at home, 16 games above 500 on the road. I will stand on this. It's Stanley Cup playoff time. You have to prove you can win at least two road games to get yourself to holding that cup over your head. And it's a club clearly that can prove they could sweep a series on, you know, against almost anybody by easily winning on the road.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the Stars are faced by many situations at all, and it's just the West right now is so wild that for finishing first overall, you're probably going to be getting a team like Vegas in the first round. So congratulations on your top overall seed, and here is the defending Stanley Cup champs.
You know, the interesting thing about this West is a lot of great teams. But to be honest with you, I'm not really sold on any goaltender in this. Am I off base here?
I like I said, Ottinger has stepped up lately, so I'm encouraged by that. Even Vancouver, it looks like Casey DeSmith has been playing quite a bit lately. It hasn't been the Thatcher Demko show all the time. So Connor Hellebuck is a rock in Winnipeg. So I would say, you know, of the three top teams in the Central, Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg, I think Winnipeg's got the best goalie with Hellebuck. And of the teams in the Pacific Division, you know, L.A., none of us have ever been sold on Cam Talbot. Kings, I mean, Aiden Hill was the one-trick pony. Edmonton, Stuart Skinner, relatively inexperienced. So, yeah, you just don't know what you're going to get there.
Out in the East, battling for that final playoff spot right now, it really kind of is a battle for the last one there. Detroit, Pittsburgh, Washington, separated by 1 point, with Detroit and Pittsburgh at 84, Washington at 83. Actually, Philadelphia should include that, too, at 83, as you and I are talking here tonight. One spot for four teams. We talked about this a little bit last week, but who hangs on to grab this last spot?
I still would like to think that Washington will fall back on their playoff experience and find a way to get that final spot. And I'm hoping that all the teams out there have a strong finish, because then they could all potentially finish ahead of Minnesota in the standings, and the Wild would get a better draft pick.
I like that kind of optimism. Technically, the New York Islanders are not locked in the playoffs. They hold the third spot in the Metropolitan Division right now. So they could be, I guess they could really be knocked out of the playoffs altogether. If you get down to it, by how close these races are in that particular division. I'm another team. I'm not really sold on the Islanders at all. I'm surprised they're doing as well as they are. I could easily see both Pittsburgh and Washington passing them.
I was watching NHL Network on Tuesday afternoon, and it's kind of interesting right now because the Islanders have found something once again in Semyon Varlamov. And Varlamov is playing for his former coach in Colorado with Patrick Waugh. So, you know, if Varlamov can find some of that magic he had about 10 years ago between him and Sorokin, it could be a pretty good combo coming down the stretch for the Islanders.
Talking about those draft picks, San Jose is going to finish with the worst record in the NHL. Sadly, worst record, I believe, in the AHL for the Barracuda, and the Thunder are sort of still in a playoff picture but could easily finish in last in the Mountain Division. This organization is a mess, Kevin.
You have to wonder, you know, at what point do you start looking at your scouting department, at your general manager? Obviously, the guys are bringing in that just aren't getting it done at any level at this point. And as a Sharks fan, I mean, what do you look forward to right now? I mean, you know, it's the NHL. You're not going to get the first overall picks. Mac and Celebrini will not be playing for San Jose because we want to do everything we can for Chicago to be dominant again, because that's how the NHL works.
You know, the thing about it too, Kevin, is I believe Doug Wilson stepped aside a couple of years ago for them to go in an entirely new direction at GM and stuff. And that doesn't, I mean, I don't know exactly what the scheme is here, but there's not even anybody at the AHL or ECHL level that I go, well, hang your hat on this guy. You know, here's the guy that's going to come up and be a big star for you at two or three years from now. They're just a talentless organization right now.
There's a reason why there's a lot of empty seats right now in San Jose whenever you watch them on TV. And it's tough when you're in that kind of a market where, you know, hockey's not your number one priority among sports fans. It's you got to be good or you're not going to be relevant in that market at all.
Yeah, how about having two teams
all of us
in the
right
same
now
market and both stink? How about that?
Watson and Iowa Wild in the development here, we may as well just pull everything we said about a race in the West. We may as well just pull all of it right now because the Wild have given up two goals in the last minute plus to turn a 3-2 lead into a 4-3 deficit with 15 seconds left.
Okay, well, we gave that away. And interestingly enough, the Minnesota Wild have battled back to tie Colorado here. So,
wow.
How about that? Okay, well, Kaprizov and Zuccarello with goals, both on the power play, to not that game at two. But as Kevin said, it looks like as we're closing out the show here tonight that the Iowa Wild are done. You know, I don't want to be critical of a guy in this first year. You know, they're trying to get to figure out exactly what they're going to do with this organization here and making sure you're in the right, you know, getting the right guys in place. And it's a bit of a work in progress, so I totally get that. But Brett McLean, is he the guy guiding the Iowa Wild again next year? As you're talking about new head coach up there with Minnesota, and is McLean their guy for next year?
You really have to wonder, you know, because McLean was a leftover from the Dean Evason regime. So you have to wonder if we're going to be seeing them go for someone that is going to be more in tune with the coaching staff of the Wild have in place now. You know, everyone usually wants to have their own. So John Hines, I mean, he might have somebody in mind that he wants to run in his minor league team that is on the same wavelength as him.
To close out, one thing left here, I did want to mention on Friday night at the Wells Fargo Arena, 6,000 in attendance, according to their website. I have to say, not a huge game. I mean, that 6,000 is pretty darn good. But considering the fact that the Iowa Hawkeyes women's team was playing in the semifinals for the national championship for the tournament on Friday night as well, I thought that was a pretty remarkable turnout, to be honest with you, Kevin.
Well, you know, Robin, the stories I've done for you for Minor League Sports Report this year, you know, I always notice that I do mention attendance, and I always put in front of an announced crowd. There was not 6,000 people in that building. And I think, from what I've seen, because the seats I bought on StubHub were in the Coors Light Club level, and I was reading up on it, and people in that, a lot of people in those seats have a ticket package where it's a season ticket for Iowa Wild, Iowa Wolves basketball, and Iowa Barnstormers football. So I got a feeling they all get counted in that ticket count. And when I was at the game on Saturday night, I was looking at that area of the rink. Usually that area is right under me as I'm up in the press box. But I was on the other side of the rink. And you can notice a drop-off of people that show up in those three what they call club sections. And I really think the Wild should revisit that next season because that's just not a good look when you got three sections of people where there's hardly anybody there. And then the rest of your lower level looked pretty good, especially on Saturday when they had the bobblehead night. That was, I think, over 8,000 fans. So yeah, I'm glad I got that. I was meaning to mention that stuff.
Fantastic. Kevin Loco, thanks for joining me this week.
My pleasure, Rob. We're maybe a couple episodes away from being done. So, you know, from what we do, it's going to be the end of one season and the beginning of another. So, my pleasure as always.
Stay tuned with us, fans. Thanks again, Kevin.